to talk to you
about overt acts, motivators, and the dead. Although you will find the sequence I described to you invariable, the conditions resulting from it are quite complex. There are three circumstances. An individual has something done to him, and then he turns around and does it to somebody else, or something else. And then he says, I shouldn't do that. So he holds himself from doing it again, and he brings the first time it happened to him and the time he did it close together. And they wind up in a ball, no matter whether they're 10 billion years apart or 10 minutes apart. They'll wind up. One is the motivator, the next is the overt act. The same similar efforts. The person receives an effort, and he thinks he ought to be able to use any effort he has received. We get this sort of a situation here. I showed you the dish and the tennis ball. Circumstance here. In comes this effort. Now, if it comes in and hits him, he makes a facsimile of it. He feels he should be able to put that facsimile into play at any time. And so one day, he starts to put this into play, and we finish the cycle, and gets there. And he says, no. And when he says no there, he says no there. In other words, he stops the thing coming in and going out if he stops it going out. Why? Because when it was a counter effort, he stopped it and tried to stop it from coming in. So what does he use to stop it from going out? The same force that he used to keep it from going in. So this one, as it starts in here at the top, it's coming toward him. This is earlier on the track. This is the motivator. And this, of course, is antipathetic to his survival, being a heavy counter effort. And as it comes in, he says, no, 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 you must not come in. And he tries to force it and keep it from coming in, but it comes in anyhow. And he makes facsimiles of it coming in and his stopping it and his being unable to stop it. He makes a facsimile of every sequence of the entrance to him of this counter effort. Now, once upon a time, or a little bit later, then upon a time, he will say that this is a similar situation. I'm going to do it to somebody else. I want to put this person in apathy, he'll say, and here's a facsimile of a good, strong counter-effort. I'll give him this good, strong counter-effort, and he'll start to give him this good, strong counter-effort, and you'll get a co-generation of energy there, and he'll say all of a sudden, I don't want to put him in apathy, really. Because he is me and I am him, because here it's happening to him and it happened to me, so therefore I must be the same as him. And this is very simple and very sensible. You'll find all people who get motivators and try to use them as overt acts come to this conclusion that I am he, until they get a cross identification across the whole human race. They think everybody is them, and they pick up everybody's facsimiles, and they pick up all sorts of restimulation. They don't pick up anybody's facsimiles. That's a very special activity. You can grab somebody's facsimile, but you're not grabbing his facsimile at all. You're taking a photograph of his facsimile, or you're pushing him through his own facsimile. You're not taking his facsimile. It's the same difference. Now, therefore, people, when they have lots of motivators, which they've tried to use as overt acts, will eventually come to the conclusion that they and the rest of the human race are the same person. In other words, their own individuation is squashed. Why is it squashed? In comes the counter-effort, they stop the counter-effort coming in. They make a facsimile of it, they start to use it one day. They want to put somebody into apathy or put somebody out of action or nullify them. Something is happening, so they take this thing that happened to them, and they say, here it goes, and start to use it, and they find the other person putting up the same resistance they put up, which identifies them with the other person because of an interchange of energy. There's an actual energy flow, and this other person says, no, no, no. The person who's doing it to them feels, no, 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 as an energy flow, not the words or anything. There's an actual energy kickback. And the second this kickback hits, it re-stimulates very mechanically the other side of this motivator. So it makes the person who is doing the overt act the same as the victim. It gives him a confusion of identity. And the second he gets this confusion of identity, he says, no, 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 I mustn't do this to me. And so he holds it up. And he tries to say, I didn't do it. And he tries to pull it back. He gets regret. Regret is the action of trying to make time run backwards. And so he holds it up. And here it was on the way out, but here is the facsimile now which is holding it up. Who's he? Is he the person who is holding it up or the person who is putting it out? Well, he must be both people. Well, if he's both people, then he can feel sympathy for the person he was doing it to. But of course, if he feels sympathy for the person he was doing it to, this makes him the same as the person he was doing it to, because anything you feel sympathy for, you identify with yourself. So it becomes an immediately unsolvable situation unless you have the reduction and erasure techniques of processing, Dianetic processing. If you have these techniques, you're going to resolve this. It couldn't be resolved before. So there we are.